السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. ما شاء الله, you guys are very awake and energetic. I hope I don't put you guys to sleep. إن شاء الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. So inshallah my talk is going to be about the habits of the people of paradise. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the condition of the people of Jannah, that how they will be enjoying the food, the drinks, and you know the various types of rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for them. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in great detail in many surahs of the Quran. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just tell us about the rewards that He has prepared for certain people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also describes to us who these people used to be in the world. What kind of actions they used to do in the world. What kind of habits they had. What kind of faith they had, what they believed in, how they used their money, how they used their time, what they did in the day, what they did in the night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, He describes the state of their heart when they're doing good. So inshallah, in the next little while that I have with you, I want to talk about one such passage in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes to us the people of paradise. And this passage is from Suratul Insan. And the reason why I chose this surah is because of two reasons actually. One is that the Prophet ﷺ used to recite this surah in Fajr prayer every Friday. And this shows us how necessary it is for us to take the message, the hope that the surah gives us. The second reason is that in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the people of paradise and also the rewards that the people of paradise will enjoy. And in the surah, Jahannam, hellfire, and its punishment is mentioned only once. Only once. The entire surah is about the reward of paradise and the people of paradise. So, in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in verse number 5, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ يَشْرَبُونَ مِنْ كَأْسٍ كَانَ مِزَاجُهَا كَافُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about who the people of paradise are. He tells us that they are abrar, that they are His righteous slaves. Now, the people of paradise could be you know, praised in many different ways. They could be described as believers, right? They could be described as the people of taqwa, the people who are conscious of Allah, the people who are afraid of Allah. I mean, there's so many different ways that the people of paradise can be described. And they're actually, these descriptions, we find them in the Quran, right? But here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them abrar. That the righteous, the abrar, slaves of Allah, will drink from a cup of wine whose mixture is of kafur. Now the ulama talk about why the people of paradise are called abrar. And the reason is that abrar are people who are dutiful. People who do bir. People who do righteous actions. So the reason why they're called the dutiful slaves of Allah is because they are dutiful, they are obedient to Allah. This is how they lived their lives. A life of devotion, of dutifulness, of faithfulness, of commitment to Allah Azza wa Jal. Another reason is because abrar are people who are dutiful to others, as in they are good to others. So they are those who are good to their parents and also to their children. You may have heard of the term birrul walidain, right? Being good to your parents. So abrar are who? Those who are good to their parents and also to their children, meaning those who are closest to them. And the Prophet ﷺ told us that al-birru, righteousness, is husnul khuluq. It is good character. Sometimes we think that righteousness is just about, you know, praying a lot of salah, or it is making a lot of dhikr, or it is, you know, memorizing the Quran and reciting the Quran. And all of that is part of righteousness. But righteousness is not limited to, you know, rituals or acts of worship. Righteousness also includes your character, your care for other people, the way that you treat them, the way that you speak to them, the way that you interact with them, especially those who are closest to you. We learn in a hadith that when the Prophet ﷺ was asked that which deeds certainly lead to paradise, he replied, عَلَيْكَ بِحُسْنِ الْكَلَامِ وَبَذْلِ الطَّعَامِ. You must be good in your speech and you must generously give food to others. Meaning if you want to make it to paradise, then you better correct, you better improve the way that you speak to other people. Now the thing is, it's very easy to speak nicely to strangers. Please, thank you, I'm so sorry, you didn't have to do that, right? We know how to be polite and courteous to strangers, right? Or to people who are distant from us. But who is it that receives our real version? Who is it? It is our parents, right? And when you become a parent, it is your children. Not all parents are nice and compassionate and kind and, you know, respectful towards their children. So husnul khuluq is what? It is bir, it is righteousness. So abrar are who? Those who are good to their parents, who are good to their children. And this is how, and this is the explanation that Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu gave. Another reason why the people of paradise are called abrar is because they would remove harm from others. And this is what Al-Hasan al-Basri explained. Because bir, kindness, is not just about, you know, doing good when you go for umrah. Bir, kindness, is that if you see that someone is struggling with something and you can easily alleviate their suffering, you go ahead and do that. You don't have to wait for a giant opportunity to be able to give $50,000 in charity. No. Bir can also mean that you remove something that is annoying, that could possibly, you know, be harmful for people. You move that from their way. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that he saw a man in Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ said that he saw a man roaming around in paradise. Why was this man admitted into paradise? Because he saw a tree that was in the way of people. You know, sometimes it happens that a tree grows in a particular direction. And so the way that it was growing, the way that its branches were, it was a cause of inconvenience to people. Like people had to, you know, put their things down, you know, walk across carefully. Their clothes would get tangled into it. So what did this man do? He said, oh, this is bothering people. Let me remove it from their way. And he cut that tree. He removed it from the way of the people so that it wouldn't harm people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala admitted this person into paradise because of this. So abrar are who? Generally, when we think about the people of paradise, we think, oh, there are those who pray tahajjud every single night, right? Or there are those who have memorized the whole Quran. Or there are those who are fasting all the time. Or there are those who are going for umrah, for hajj all of the time. From this, we learn that abrar, the people of paradise, the righteous, are who? Those who seize any opportunity to bring benefit to others. Whether it means speaking to them in a good way, or it means removing something harmful from them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the abrar about how they will drink from the springs of paradise and how that, you know, how those drinks will be, their fragrance, their aroma, their flavor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that yufajjirunaha tafjira, yani these drinks, all right, the spring that they will drink from, the people of paradise will be able to cause it to gush forth in abundance. Meaning wherever they will want that drink, they will be able to access it. they will be able to cause it to gush forth in whatever amount, in whatever direction, and whenever, wherever that they desire. What's the connection over here? Abrar are people who are bringing benefit to others. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, He will give them so much joy and satisfaction in paradise. In the world, the Abrar used to give to others. So in Jannah, the Abrar will be receiving the gifts, the favors from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they are people who yufuna bin nadri wa yakhafuna yawman kana sharruhu mustatira. They're those who fulfill their vows. Yufuna bin nadri. And what is nadr? Nadr is interpreted as whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated on them. So whatever Allah obligated on them, in terms of, you know, what the fara'id are, they fulfill those. And nadr also means a commitment or a vow, all right, that you make. That something that is not mandatory on you, but you voluntarily commit to do it. All right? So yufuna bin nadri, meaning when they make good promises, when they make good commitments, meaning commitments to do something good, what do? They fulfill those commitments. Whether it is that they make these commitments with Allah or they make these commitments with people. Like for example, the volunteers that we just saw being appreciated, right? Volunteering means what? This is not a job, right? Volunteering means there isn't necessarily a contract, right? It's just out of your goodwill and your faithfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of which you come forward, you bring your time, your services, your work, your effort. Why? For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those who fulfill their commitments, their reward is paradise. Yufuna bin nadri wa yakhafuna yawman kana sharruhu mustatira. And they fear a day whose evil will be widespread. Subhanallah, they are people who fulfill their duty to Allah, their commitments with others, yet they are afraid of Allah. They are afraid of the day of judgment. What happens with many people is that they get very comfortable because of the good deeds they have done in the past. Like for example, a person thinks that, yeah, I recited the whole Quran with my Quran teacher when I was 15 years old, and I am done with my recitation of the Quran. Now, I'm, you know, more focused on other things. So they think that they no longer have to recite the Quran because they have done that in their life already. Some people think that, you know, just because they have gone for Umrah, they have gone for Hajj, they gave sadaqah in Ramadan, now they are done with that good deed. And when we look at good deeds like this, that okay, I'm done my part, I no longer have to do it, I'm satisfied with what I have done, then this is where growth stops. But when a person is afraid of the day of judgment, when a person has fear of Allah in their heart, when they think about standing before Allah, they think about the sins that they have committed and are committing, then what happens? There's that this fear drives them to keep increasing in good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Mu'minun about وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. That those who do what they're doing of good deeds, but while they're doing them, their hearts are trembling with the fear of Allah. Why are they trembling with the fear of Allah? Because they know that one day they are going to stand before Allah. And that standing before Allah frightens them. That if Allah were to ask me about my sins, what could I say? How could I defend myself? How could I justify any of these deeds? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about such people that أُولَٰئِكَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. These are the people who excel in good deeds, who rush in good deeds. وَهُمْ لَهَا سَابِقُونَ. So the people of paradise are those who are not settled with what they have already done. Abrar, the righteous, are not satisfied with whatever that they accomplished 5 years ago or 10 years ago. They're eager to do more. So what do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about another habit of theirs. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. That they give food to others in spite of love for it. And who is it that they give food to? Miskeen, the one in need. Yatim, the orphan child. Asir, the prisoner. They give food. Now, giving food, yes, this is something amazing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions another detail over here. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ. And this means two things. It means that they give food because of His love, meaning out of love for Allah. So on the one hand, they're afraid of Allah, but on the other hand, they also love Allah. And out of that love that they have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they give food to others. They spend on others. Because the one whom you love, you want to please them, right? You want to draw close to them. So the abrar, what is their concern? They want to draw closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. So they're always eager to find out, what can I do that will draw me close to Allah? What can I do that will bring me Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's approval? And of those deeds is what? It is to give food to other people. And giving food is something that you can do at any time, anywhere. As long as there's people around you, you can do that. You don't have to be in a poor country, all right? You don't have to be in a place where everyone is hungry or everyone is fasting. No. Giving food to others, it could even be your own family. It could even be your own children. It could be your neighbors. It could be anybody. Giving food to others is something that is rewardable. So, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ. They give it out of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another interpretation of this is that they give food to others in spite of their love for that food. And this is where it becomes very relevant to us. Think about it. You go get that piece of cheesecake that you've been craving all week, all right? And you go get it, and you bring it home, and you're like, I'm just going to sit down, relax, and enjoy it. Actually, forget about cheesecake. Ice cream, all right? Dairy Queen. Okay, let's say you get that ice cream, and you say, I'm just going to sit down, and I'm going to enjoy it. And what happens? Your sister, your brother, your spouse, your child, somebody or the other comes, all right? And they're just staring at you. They're looking at you. You have been craving this ice cream for an entire week. You're rewarding yourself over here, right? And you want to enjoy it, especially the last little bit where all the fudge is, right? That's what you've been waiting for. And what happens? They're looking at you, so you're like, want a bite? Want to have some? And they're like, yeah, sure. And they take it, and before you know it, they finish it. This is وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ. Giving food to others in spite of love for it. That even though you want it yourself, but you give it to others. You have shahwa, you have that desire for it, but you give it to someone else. Or some say that what this means is, in spite of its shortage, because when food is not enough, right? When you're hungry and others are also hungry, at that time, what do? Do you just care about yourself or do you also care about those in need? So the people of paradise, abroad, what is their habit? That they give to others. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ. And especially they give it to who? مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. The one in need. The person who is not able to fulfill all of their needs. Yatim, the child who doesn't have a father to provide for him or her. And asir, a prisoner who's not able to go out and get food themselves. And food is one of the most basic human necessities, right? Subhanallah. And so we see that where giving food to others is such a huge virtue, preventing food from others is a huge crime. We learn about the people of hell, the people of Jahannam. They will be asked that, how is it that you ended up in Jahannam? How? And they will say, among their crimes was what? وَلَمْ نَكُ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. We would not feed those in need. Even though we had the capacity, we had the ability, but we did not give food to others. So giving food to others is one of the qualities of the people of paradise. And we see that it is actually one of the best deeds near Allah. When the Prophet ﷺ was asked that which deeds are the best, he mentioned several good deeds. And among them, he said that you satisfy the hunger of a Muslim. That he's hungry, she's hungry, and you feed them to their fill. In another hadith, we learn about the homes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the people of paradise. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described their beauty, a man asked that, who are they for? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, these houses are for people who are good in their speech, who give food to others, who pray in the night when people are sleeping. So giving food to others, it is something that leads people to paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that khiyarukum man at'ama at'am, the best of you are those who give food to others. And giving food to others, this is not restricted to Muslims. This is not even restricted to human beings, in fact. In a hadith, we learn about how a man came to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and mentioned that when he collects water for his camels, and his camels are about to drink the water, there are some other camels belonging to other people who also come and drink from there. So the man said that, I just let those thirsty camels drink from that water, but do I get any reward? And the Prophet ﷺ said that, yes, إِنَّ فِي كُلِّ ذَاتِ كَبِدٍ أَجْرًا. There is reward for feeding every living creature. So the people of paradise are those who give food to others. And when they give food, they say something in their hearts. What is it that they say? They say, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. We only feed you for the sake of Allah. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We do not want from you any kind of compensation, nor any kind of gratitude. We feed you, why? For the sake of Allah. Meaning, we want the reward for this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From you, we don't want two things. What are these two things? Jaza, some kind of reward that you reciprocate the favor. Today I feed you, tomorrow you feed me. And sometimes this happens, especially in Ramadan, that when you give food to when you share some food with your neighbors, your Muslim neighbors, you take samosas for them, and you expect that, tomorrow maybe they'll send me pakoras, right? Or some other kind of snack that, the auntie is very good at preparing. No. When you give something for the sake of Allah, you don't expect a payment from people. You don't expect that they will reciprocate the favor somehow, that they will now do something in return. Sometimes we expect jaza in some other kind of way. Like, for example, you share food with your neighbor, and now you expect that, on garbage day, when the garbage is collected, your neighbor should put your garbage bin, back at your garage door or something. Because I'm always doing so much for them, they should also do something for me. No. You don't expect any reciprocation from people when you do them a favor. All of your reward you expect from who? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا. And you don't even expect any shukur from them. Meaning any verbal gratitude, that they come and thank you, they call you and they thank you and they praise the food that you prepared. No. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. If it happens without your intention, that is different. Right? That you send food in your Tupperware, and when they return the Tupperware, they fill it with food. Did you demand that? No, you didn't. Did you expect that? No, you didn't. Or you give food and they call you and they thank you. Did you expect that? No, you didn't. But if that happens, alhamdulillah. However, we should never expect from people that they should pay us, they should compensate us for the favor that we have done them. And sometimes what we make a mistake, and that mistake is that when people are thanking us, we say things like, just pray for me. Just make dua for me. Has anyone done that over here? Yeah? Like, for example, you know, your neighbor, your friend, your coworker, family member, anybody, right? They come and they're trying to thank you, and you're like, just make dua for me. Okay, one of the scholars said that وَمَنْ طَلَبَ مِنَ الْفُقَرَاءِ الدُّعَاءِ أَوِ الثَّنَاءِ خَرَجَ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. That whoever demands from the poor that they should pray for him in return, or that they should praise him, they should thank him somehow, then this person is not included in the ayah. If you ask someone, just pray for me, then what are you doing? You're demanding some kind of reciprocation, some kind of compensation from them. That I did you a favor, now you do a favor for me. No. When you do a favor to someone for the sake of Allah, then you expect your reward from Allah and Allah alone. They say in their hearts, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. And this shows us that any deed that we do, big or small, any kind of deed, we should do it only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they say, إِنَّا نَخَافُ مِنْ رَبِّنَا يَوْمًا عَبُوسًا قَمْطَرِيرًا. Indeed, we fear from our Lord a day that is austere and distressful, a very difficult day. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَوَقَاهُمُ اللَّهُ شَرَّ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ وَلَقَاهُمْ نَضْرَةً وَسُرُورًا. So Allah will protect them from the evil of that day. Which day is this? It's the day of judgment. They were afraid of the difficulty, the distress of that day. And this is why they tried so hard to protect their intentions. And they consistently strove to do different kinds of things to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what will happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect them from the difficulty of that day and will give them nadratan wa surura. Nadra, radiance, brightness on their faces, and surur, joy and happiness in their hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them happiness in their hearts and will make them beautiful as well. وَجَزَاهُمْ بِمَا صَبَرُوا جَنَّةً وَحَرِيرًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them. Why? بِمَا صَبَرُوا. And this is key. Because they were patient. And what is it that Allah will reward them with? Jannatan wa harira. Paradise and silk. This ayah shows us that Jannah is a reward for sabr, for patience. And patience is not just in times of difficulty that you endure, that you don't quit, that you bear the hardship, that you still stick to the truth. Patience has many different forms. Patience is required in being dutiful to Allah. Patience is required in following the commands of Allah. Patience is required in praying 5 times a day. Patience is required in being good to your family. Remember abroad? Who are abroad? Those who are good to their family, right? Their parents and their children. Tell me, is sabr not needed over there? Is sabr not needed? You see, when you're dealing with a stranger, no matter how rude they are, no matter how annoying they are, you control yourself. But when it's your child, you think that you can say anything. When it's your sibling, you think that you can treat them in, you know, however that you want. But sabr means that you control yourself over there and you say only what is pleasing to Allah. Sabr is required in doing small acts of kindness. Sabr is required in fulfilling commitments and promises. Sabr is required in feeding other people, especially when you have to share what you want for yourself. Sabr is required in continuing to do good without receiving any kind of compensation from people. And we learn from this ayah that the reward for sabr is Jannah. It is paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to be patient on righteousness, patient on those things which are pleasing to Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to be patient in fulfilling our duty to Him, in controlling ourselves when we're dealing with our loved ones. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all of the people of paradise. There's a beautiful hadith that I want to end with. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that there are no people who gather together to remember Allah whose intention, whose only intention when they gather together to remember Allah is to seek the face of Allah, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's no group of people who do this except that a caller calls out, an announcement is made. أَنْ قُومُوا مَغْفُورًا لَكُمْ قَدْ بُدِّلَتْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. That rise from here while you're all forgiven. You gathered here only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking His face for no other reason. When you get up from here, all of your sins will be forgiven and your sins will have been converted into good deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all sincerity in everything that we do. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala count us among such people who are forgiven when they rise from here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.